Sangolo and Ramadani. And I mean, 19 days is a long time to go without food, isn't it? You know, I noticed that Hertha Springer has sprung back from her surgery on her shoulder. And so we're glad that you're here. We praise God you are. It's awesome. It's excellent. You like that, eh? Sprung back? You got the ads. Let's pray. Father God, we rejoice today. It's Father's Day. And Lord, we know that it's a special celebration for dads. And we thank you that it is. And we thank you that, Lord, over the world, they recognize this special day for fathers. But today we recognize, Lord, that you are our Father. And we do that every day. And Lord, you're our Father and you care about us. And when we come and we pray to you, Lord, you hear us. And we thank you that you do. And you have said where two or three gathered, you're in their midst, and we know you're here. And so we praise you for being here, God. We acknowledge your presence with us. Lord, you've heard today the cry of Lutela and Muzay, and for the Dorton family, for Sangolo and Ramadan, and Ramadani. And Lord, we pray for them. We pray, Father, that they would be able to receive some kind of nourishment. Father, we don't know what's available to them, but we know that so far nothing has been. And so we pray, Father, that you would just use whoever you can, or Lord, as part of your plan, so that they can receive the funds to, Lord, to buy food and purchase that food for nourishment for their bodies. Father, it's hard for us even to imagine that, but we pray for them, Lord, and we pray your protection upon them. We pray for Lutela and Muzay too, Lord, your peace upon them and the Dorton family as well. And God, we pray that you'll give them courage and strength as they continue to proceed with discussions with these two brothers. Lord, we lift Ken Kennedy to you. And Father, we pray that you continue to heal him. We know, Lord, he's back in the hospital and his back is not well. And so we pray, Father, that you would just be with the doctors as they treat him. And we pray the same for Bruce and for Murray. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to give doctors wisdom as they treat each of them. And Lord, we lift their families to you and pray that Lord, they would be encouraged even today. And we praise you, Father, that Hertha is here, and Lord, that she's recovering well. And we just pray, Father, that you'd continue to give her strength and give her your peace. And Lord, we just thank you that she's here with us. We think, Lord, of Shirley Talbot and Lillian Perlitz and Nathan Wilson and Lori and Megan. And we lift them to you once again, Lord, and we just place them at your feet. And we know, Lord, that you can do so much more than we can imagine or think. And so we pray for healing, Lord, whatever that is, whether that be emotional, whether that be physical. Lord, we pray that you bring healing to them and pray for each family member as well involved with them, that you continue to give them courage. Lord, we think that we take for granted that we can be here and worship you, but there are those who can't be. And so we pray, Lord, for those who are unable to attend as worship services collectively. We pray for Mary and for Annette and Elizabeth and Sophie. And we pray, Father, that today that they are worshiping you and that they're being encouraged in some way with you. And Father, we pray your peace upon them. Lord, again, it's good to come into your house. It's good to praise your name, and we want nothing more than to please you. That's all we want, God. We want to move in your direction with your purpose and with your will. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's great today. It's Father's Day, and there's still time to buy a gift. Isn't that something? You never thought that you'd have on a Sunday the ability to buy a Father's Day gift after you heard it announced this Sunday morning. Still is. I came across a really neat little definition that a small boy gave in regard to Father's Day. And he said this. He said, "It's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the present." That's Father's Day in his mind. And that's really what being a daddy is all about. In fact, when my son was 3 years old, Nathan, he picked out this tie for me. Isn't that great? The Cartoon Network. And you know, I got to tell you know why he picked it out? He picked it out because of Fred Flintstone. And he told me that today, and I thought maybe that's because I was loud and boisterous most of the time. But anyway, but this one lady, she was out walking with her 4-year-old daughter, and she picked up something at the ground, and she started to put it in her mouth. And her mom asked her not to do that. And so the little girl said, "Well, why? Why can't I do that, mommy?" And mother said, "Well, because it's been laying outside and it's dirty and it probably has germs." And so at this point, the little girl looked at her mother with total admiration and asked, "Wow, how do you know all this stuff?" And mother said, and she quickly had to think, it's on the mummy test. You have to know it or they don't let you be a mummy." "Oh," said the little girl, "oh." And they walked along in silence for about 2 or 3 minutes. And the little girl was just evidently, she was really stumped by this. She was just pondering this new information. And finally she said, "Well, I get it, Mom. I get it. Then if you flunk, you have to be a daddy." I don't know if that says we're all failures, but anyway. I think it's appropriate that we show appreciation to our fathers. In fact, dads, we have something special for you today, and it's just a little treat. And please, when you walk through the door, you make sure that you get none other than a dad's cookie, okay? It's a cookie only for you, Dad. You blow your cholesterol count because you deserve it today, because you sang so well this morning, and you did a great job. We're going to look at the joy of the father this morning, and I got to tell you that this doesn't apply to dads. It applies to all of us who are here, because there's such joy in being a dad or spending time with dad. But I want to talk to you about the Heavenly Father this morning, the joy of the Heavenly Father. And I want you to understand a couple of things, and I trust that you'll grab hold of these two truths this morning as we look at the joy of the Father. Turn to Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. I invite you to turn there. And we're going to take note of some stuff there in Psalm 27. The joy of the Father removes all fear. There's something remarkable about fear. You see, fear paralyzes. Fear immobilizes. Fear can cause breakups and breakdowns. Fear can even be found in things we like to do. I enjoy golf. I enjoy to play golf. How many here enjoy golf? A few of you. I enjoy to watch golf. As a matter of fact, there's almost nothing that I enjoy more about golf than just rearing back and really busting that golf ball as hard as I can from the tee. And then, if I can find it, I like to hike back and bust it again. And I don't play often because I discovered a long time ago that a fast game of golf and a slow game of golf require approximately 5 hours for me. And in fact, when it comes to golf, there's no day the same. You talk about variety. I mean, one day I can score 120 in 9 holes. And the next, I do a little worse. I only get a 67. Isn't it the highest? See, that's how much I know about golf. I mean, But I found when I'm with my son, he's taken golf, and he trains me so well. He says, "Okay, Dad, you got to," and he's great at this. And I'm soaring. I actually. Pastor Jeremy, I got a 46 the other day. Best I've ever done. 46. Okay, I invite you people to listen now. Anyway, but that's all because of my son. He's showing me how to do it, and it's great. And you know why? Nobody was coming behind. When people are starting to come behind, and we can be on the second on a tee off, and I'm teeing, and all of a sudden Nathan will say, "Hey, Dad, look at there's somebody starting on the first tee," and I go, "Oh no." And then it turns to baseball for me. Whack, and it hits the trees, and I'm gone, One of my favorite golf stories, even if you heard it before, it bears repeating, is about the Reverend Francis Norton. The Reverend Francis Norton woke up Sunday morning, and realizing it was an exceptionally beautiful and sunny early spring day, he decided he just had to play golf. So he told his associate pastor in the week, he decided that he wasn't feeling well, and he convinced him to preach the sermon for him on that particular Sunday. And as soon as the associate pastor hung up the phone, Pastor Norton headed out of town to a golf course about 40 miles away, like around Shelbrook. And this way he knew that he wouldn't accidentally meet anyone he knew from the church. And so setting up the first tee, he was alone, and after all, it was Sunday morning, everybody else was in church. And at about this time, St. Peter leaned over to the Lord and looking down from the heaven and proclaimed, you're not gonna let him get away with this, are you?" And the Lord, oh, "St. Peter, 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 I guess not." And just then, Pastor Norton hit the ball, and it shot straight towards the pin, and it dropped just short of it, and it rolled up, and it fell into the hole. It was a 420-yard hole-in-one. Can you imagine? And St. Peter, he was astonished. He looked at the Lord, and he said, "What? Why did you let him do that?" And the Lord just kind of smiled and put his hands together and said, "Who's he going to tell?" I got to tell you that when I'm on the golf course and I see those people coming, there's a fear that takes. I enjoy golf, but all of a sudden I turn into a baseball player. But I do know that the joy of the Father removes fear. And David, the psalmist, he understood that his defense was found in God alone. He says it so well. Look at Psalm 27, verse 1. "The Lord is my light." We sang about that this morning. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I like the way the Message Bible says it. Light, space, zest. That's God. "So with him on my side, I'm fearless, afraid of no one and nothing." Now those are very words today. I know I have God on my side. When I do, when I realize that, I have nothing to fear. Or has worry, has fear got a hold of you? It doesn't matter what age. Fear and worry can grab hold of you. I mean, it's like this Family Circus cartoon. They're laying there, looking up at the clouds. "Can't wait until I'm grown up and I can do anything I want and not have anything to worry about." If that were only true. Do you realize how much, you just think about it, in a day, how much fear paralyzes you from doing? You have no need to defend yourself. God will do that for you. You have no need to wonder where you're walking. God will take you there. You have no need to be concerned about life when God is your focus because you are well led. The joy of the Father, the joy of knowing God, removes all fear. But, and there's always a but it is my choice whether I will allow him to be that central in my life. Will I allow the Lord to be my defense? The NIV Bible says stronghold. Before you're quick to answer, think of Jesus for a moment. They took Jesus, the Christ, and they had a couple of mock trials, and soon he's handed over to be crucified, and he doesn't say a word. And they mock him, and they taunt him, and they poke fun of him. And I mean, social services would have had a heyday with the kind of abuse Christ walked through, and he didn't say a word. They nailed him to the cross unfairly. For he had done nothing, and his defense is only found in God the Father. He walks through all of that, and his words always point to the Father. You see, if Jesus is our Lord, then we learn from his example that God is our defender. He is the best defense, more so than the hockey playoffs were last night for Carolina. It's not natural for us to trust God as our defender because we want justice served now, our way. We want the circumstances to change in our favor immediately. And we always seem to forget when we're put into a fearful situation that God needs to be our focus, not ourselves. Everything we do should be for him and for his glory. We should only fear God. That's it. The Bible says nothing else because God is our defender. And sometimes he gives us the words to speak at just the right moment. And at other times, he knows it is much better for us to say nothing because he defends. There's such joy in the Father. Amen? You listen to the psalmist, King David, and he goes on. He says, when evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, you hear that? When my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. I don't know what you fear today. I don't know what you're running from. I don't know if you're feeling pressure in your job or struggling through a relationship or hurting from a family situation or grieving the loss of someone close to you. Maybe, just maybe, you're feeling attacked just from all over. But I do know that, like the psalmist, the Lord is our help. No matter what the situation is, he waits to help. Sigmund Freud, you're going to love that. I never thought I'd ever quote Sigmund Freud in church. Sigmund Freud said, I cannot think of any need in childhood as strong as the need for a father's protection. If you're a child of God, you have the Father's protection. God gives us strength when we require it. He gives us the words when we need them. He provides refuge when we want it. That's the joy of the Father. He is my light, says King David. He is my salvation, says the psalmist. There is nothing more that we need, but there's so much more that's given. Well, the joy of the Father removes all fear. The joy of the Father restores confidence. Love that word, confidence. Say it with me. Confidence. Oh, come on, you didn't get it the first time. Confidence. Oh, you said that like you meant it. I know many, many moments in my life where I have required the confidence that only God can give me. And it's in those moments when I feel like I just can't do it. Have you ever had a moment like that? Let me explain. My son Nathan, he's 15. He has begun the wonderful adventure of driver training. I can never figure that one out. I mean, I think it should be called parent training. Better yet, father training. There's nothing quite like putting a father beside his son when he is learning the art of driving. He is doing so well. Really, he is. I'm not. I mean, really, he's only hit a couple of cats. He did so much swerving until he hit them. Sweet success. No, he didn't really. I'm just kidding. But his confidence when he drives is absolutely amazing. I know that it's God-given because I'm sitting there praying while he's driving. I got a cute story. Young boy. Do you have time for this? Yeah, you do. We got another hour to go because church starts at 10 and we go to 12. Anyway, kidding. Young boy just received his driver's permit and he inquired of his father, who was a pastor, if they could discuss the use of the car. And his father said, well, I'll make a deal with you. You bring your grades up from a C to a B average and you study your Bible, you get your hair cut, and then we'll talk about the car. And the boy thought about that for a moment. He decided he'd settle for the offer and they agreed on it. And after about 6 weeks, they went into the study and it's a pastor father said, well, son, I've been real proud of you. You brought up your grades. I've observed you've been studying your Bible. I've seen you entering into discussion with Bible study groups. But I'm real disappointed in you since you haven't got your hair cut. And the young man paused for a moment. And he said, well, Dad, you know, I've been studying the Bible really at great length. And I've been thinking about that hair thing. And I've noticed that in my studies of the Bible that Samson had long hair. John the Baptist had long hair, Moses had long hair, and there's even a strong argument that Jesus had long hair. And the wise pastor just took in the son's comments as best he could, and then he replied, you know, you're absolutely correct. You are right, but you must have also noticed that everywhere they went, they walked. I have to tell you, the joy of the Father restores confidence. A lot of you are nudging each other. And you're pointing to your sons. That's what you do. But I have to, the joy of the Father restores confidence. There's nothing more empowering than knowing that God the Father provides strength, courage, and protection. He provides so much more for us. There is such a confidence in knowing that with God, there is no such phrase as give up. In fact, Hebrews talks about this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Such a great passage. But how can we keep running the race when the hurdles get higher and higher? I mean, think of it. There are those times where you just sense that when things can't get any worse, another pile of stuff piles on top of you. And you know those moments well. We've all walked through them. And we wonder how we can keep on moving. We lose the confidence to keep going. How, when it seems the floor is caving in, where do we get the floor to stand on? Well, the next verse in Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Maybe this morning you're feeling like you want to quit. You want more than anything to just give up because you think it's just much easier than carrying on. This is for you today. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You see a mountain you can't climb? Fix your eyes on Jesus. You are at the river with no boat and there's no bridge. You wonder how you're ever going to cross it? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Message Bible says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in with God, he could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourselves flagging your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. Maybe this morning you're looking for that adrenaline. You need something to keep you going. Your strength, your confidence can't come from a book. It can't come from some program. It can't come from some person. It can't come from some speech. It can only come from one source. And that's the only source that's required. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's faith in him that keeps me walking. It's that faith that keeps me doing what I know I've been created to do. Pamela Reeve said this, faith is remembering that God loves me as tenderly and fervently when I fail as when I'm walking uprightly. Boy, God loves me. God loves you. There's such confidence in knowing the power of that love. But I want you to notice, when that confidence is restored, look at this. In verse 3, in this I will be confident. Verse 6 gives credence, clarifies. My head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. But listen to the choices listed because of the fear removal and due to the confidence in God. Look at these. Put these up on here. I will, right here. There we go. I will offer. I will sing. I will cry. I will seek, says the psalmist. Confidence is found in choosing to offer praise to God. It's discovered by seeking God. That's what it boils down to, your choice today. And what did David do? David did exactly what he knew how to do, while trusting God to do the rest. And that is what living by faith boils down to, living as if God is really faithful to keep his word. Do you believe that today? That God is faithful to keep his word to you? See, that's why I can't afford to choose anything less than seeking God, offering praise to him, singing, crying, spirit soaking in him. I want you to close your Bibles because I want you to catch this. Jesus had a mantra continually as he lived, and he gave these words to us which are often kind of slipped over. And I have tried at every moment in a day, I have tried to remain true to these words. Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine." Every moment we're to live for him. That's the joy of the Father. I would not want to live any other way. In fact, David the psalmist echoes such words as he pens in verse 14. Stay with God. Take heart. Don't quit. I'll say it again. Stay with God. Stay with God. Enjoy the Father. Not just on Father's Day, but every day is the joy of the Father. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to just talk to you for just a moment because often we find confidence at certain periods of time, and maybe it's confidence in certain situations. Maybe there's times where we just don't have any real sense of fear and we know that peace. Let me tell you that today you can come to God and you can say, "Lord, I choose. Lord, I seek. Lord, I sing. Lord, I cry out to you." You can choose to do all those things, and you will know the joy of the Father by coming to him and laying focus on him. Nothing else. Not your wants, not your desires, not anything that involves you, but everything that involves him. It's a life-changing moment when you focus on God continually. And I invite you to do that this morning while heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I invite you to say, "Lord, I want you to be the focus of my life. Everything that I am and everything that I hope to be, I want you to be the focus." Just lift your hand if you're saying that to him this morning. Lift your hand. Lord bless you. Lord, God sees all those hands. God sees those hands. This morning, maybe you need to deal with other things. I don't know. Maybe you need to deal with fears. Maybe you need to deal with lack of self-esteem. Maybe you don't feel real love. Maybe you need to go to the prayer room and talk to God. I don't know. Maybe you need to nudge one of the staff or the elders to come with you and pray. I don't know. But you're welcome to do that this morning. This morning as well, I want to invite you, as we've talked about salvation and as we've talked about light, I want to invite you to accept the greatest gift that was ever given to you, and that was Jesus Christ on the Calvary cross. He died there for you because he loves you. And if you've not come to him and said, "Lord, I want you to forgive me where I've failed in so many ways. I give you my life today. I give you my heart. Just, I want to be yours today." And you want to be a Christian. Just come to him and talk to him. And as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're saying that to him this morning, for the first time, you're saying, "Lord, I want to be a Christian." Just lift your head up. Just lift your head. Just lift your head up. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. Father God, this morning we have definitely applauded dads here today. But Lord, it's you that we applaud. You've given us life, not just here, but life eternal. For that, we cannot say anything more than thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for being our refuge and our strength. Thank you for being a very present help in times of trouble. Thank you, God. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for the joy of knowing you. To you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's